Welcome to Breakdown. I'm Charles Ames. Today we'll talk with Tacoma Councilmember Joe Bushnell. He reports on his perceptions as one of the newer council members, challenges that face the City of Destiny, and programs that address those concerns. Next, in Both Sides Now, we'll have a debate about what it will take to make the Republican Party viable again. Even my debate opposition, Phil Kiever, agrees that the new members of the GOP are disrupting the party line, but that maybe it's not such a bad thing. I'll counter with a question of how far we want this to go. Then, of course, we'll confront the Dickensian specter of a second Trump term. And then, I'll finish with a discussion on science denial, though science has given us a comfortable, safe standard of life. That's all coming up now in Breakdown. Let's roll. This is Charles Ames with KTAH-FM. Today I'm talking with Councilmember Joe Bushnell, District 5?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Thank you for joining us. And you're relatively new to the council. So what are your findings so far? What are your expectations versus your realizations?
I'm finishing up my second year on Tacoma City Council, and I think, you know, I kind of went into it really open-minded with what I might be able to do. I obviously had some goals in mind that I've heard from the community that are really important regarding public safety, housing affordability and homelessness issues, as well as, you know, economic development and, you know, job creation issues. And so I kind of came into that, and I'm putting myself into a lot of positions where I'm trying to enact change in that. The challenges that I think I see is that a lot of folks don't know that as much as I want to be a change agent on the full council, it's also a team sport. In order to get anything across that dais, you need the votes in order to make something happen. And sometimes that slows up progress. But I think at the end of the day, we often get better legislation out of that because you have more than one set of hands in the pot, so to speak, to help craft policy and legislation.
And now I'm a resident of Lakewood, and it's a new city, and so it's not mired in the bureaucracy and red tape. Tacoma is an established city. There's a lot of representations and interests here, and so sometimes is it harder to work through that morass, that momentum?
There's a lot of legacy in the city, and some of that legacy is positive and some of that legacy is not so great. You know, the city of Tacoma has historically had a lot of really racist policies in the past. And so, you know, we're trying really hard to be an anti-racist city. It's relatively new in the history of our city to be like this and to really root out a lot of our historic systemic racism policies and, you know, things across the city and historically that have been issues, especially disinvestment in, you know, in different parts of our community over years. And we're trying to find ways to bring equity into a lot of the work that we do.
When you say disinvestment, you're referring to your constituents' engagement?
It's not just constituent engagement. It's also things that are physical, like infrastructure when it comes to sidewalks. It also comes to like tree canopy cover, for example. You know, there's levels of it throughout our city. You know, in the past, you know, we've had our, you know, Chinese expulsion, where they removed, you know, folks of Chinese descent out of the city. We had Japanese expulsion where they, you know, put them in camps. That happened in World War II, but that obviously was national, but it still happened in the city of Tacoma. And, you know, we have historic redlining issues that are still present in our city today. You know, those echo into our current day. And so we need to do a better job of making sure we identify those issues and try to make sure that we're continually investing in recognizing and healing those wounds.
And excellent points you bring up. And generations ago, we didn't give it a second thought that we were imposing at a minimum, that we were prejudicing, biasing against minorities. And it makes me wonder sometimes what we're doing now that in the future will be considered a no-no. Now, recently you've had tenants' rights pass, as we say, by a slim margin. For people who may not be familiar with the process and the background of it, can you give us a little bit of background, a little bit of illumination?
Yeah, it was a citizens initiative. So what that means is it requires a certain amount of percentage of people to sign a petition in order to get it onto the ballot. It's drafted by a group and then they campaign for it. And it did pass by a few hundred votes, I believe, this last election cycle. And as a policy, I'm very much in favor of tenants' rights overall, right? Our council recently passed some pretty strong tenant support ordinances this past summer. I think we could have done a better job as a city to kind of educate our landlords and tenants about those that passed already. But I think that, one of the challenges with ballot initiatives specifically is that you can't change or modify it for a minimum of 2 years. So even if you have the best of intentions, I'm really concerned that there may be things that we can't fix, or maybe there's conflicts with the current code that are going to be difficult to fix because we can't actually go back as a council and look and change or modify it at all. So and I think that might end up, hurting folks potentially. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm a renter, longtime renter, probably will be the rest of my life. But I understand enough about the plight of landlords as well that I know one guy who is from Mercer Island, got a dozen properties, and he's living great in Mercer Island. But then on the other hand, there's some people have like 2-3 properties. We're talking individual homes or duplexes or whatever, and they're doing their best to try to get along. Is this going to make it tougher for them to continue as property owners?
Yeah, I think it's really going to be up to the individual landlords and what their risk level they're willing to take. Certainly, this passage increases the risk level of being a landlord of any type. And so that might get reflected in prices, and if that price is if they're not able to bear those prices, then they might end up selling the properties instead. It's that risk tolerance level that landlords have to kind of look at and see whether they are willing to accept that or not.
And now we kind of blend over into affordability. Even if they sell, is somebody going to buy that property knowing what they're going to have to deal with? Now, I understand that there are plans to consider an affordability tax.
I think at the county level that they are considering an affordability tax, 0.1% housing affordability. The city of Tacoma has already passed that a while ago, and we are utilizing those monies in order to support our affordable housing initiatives.
All right. Thank you for clearing that up, because it makes sense that as Tacoma goes, ultimately, I would imagine so goes Pierce County. Well, now we
sometimes
come to,
not always the case.
Sometimes we come to homelessness, and I have this perception. Everybody gripes about, conservatives gripe about blue cities. Meanwhile, they're handing bus tickets to homeless people to send them to cities like ours, because we do actually welcome the stranger. We do actually try to treat people like human beings. So what is Tacoma, how are they handling the homeless situation and recent propositions, legislation that have that effect?
Yeah, the city of Tacoma, we want to be a welcoming city, and we have been, in my opinion. We've made historic investments in our housing affordability and homelessness issues this last few years. We did $101 million in ARPA funding went to housing affordability and homelessness. We stood up many, many emergency shelters, including expanding some of our current sheltering. That's just the city of Tacoma alone. And I think you will probably gander to guess, and I think we could all see that this is not just a city of Tacoma issue, right? This is a regional issue, but this is also an issue up and down the West Coast and the United States. And unless we look at things holistically, we as a city just don't necessarily have the resources to support the entire county's, folks that are experiencing homelessness. And, it is a very large drain on the resources of the city. And there's a lot of other things that we need to also be doing in the city in order to make sure we're maintaining. And so I really think that we need to work together regionally to make sure that we're addressing this issue holistically.
It seems that climate change may be an issue in people's migration around the country. I think we're going to be affected by that. In the minute we have left, how is Tacoma addressing this? What do they think is going to happen, et cetera?
We have a climate action. We have climate action plan, CAP, which is very, very large and very ambitious. And we are doing what we can as a city within our piece of the pie in order to address climate change. It's going to take a lot of additional resources that we just frankly don't have as a city. And it's really going to rely on a lot of external investment, including private, public, federal, state, and internally investment in order to make a lot of our climate change policies enacted and goals met.
Joe Bushnell, District Number 5, Tacoma City Council Member. Thank you so much for your time, Mr. Bushnell.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
This is Charles Ames talking with Dr. Phil Kiever. He is a professor at Liberty University. He's also recently reissued his own book, 182 Days in Iraq, and happens to be a friend of mine. A couple of fairly chummy veterans, just different sides of the aisle. Phil, in today's abbreviated discussion, I would like maybe for us to figure out how to help the Republican Party.
Well, I think it's rather generous of you, Charles, that you want to help or save the Republican Party. Thank you.
I remember there was a time when the Republican Party wanted to help people other than millionaires, that they, before they took up the mantle of abortion, because it gave them much, much more leverage. So let's talk about the Republican Party as it is today.
Well, I think, I feel as a libertarian / Republican that, we have a lot of strong personalities that that are younger, that are coming from a younger generation. Vivek Ramaswamy identifies himself pretty much right along the lines of Trump, but just says he's younger and he's from a new generation. And so I think we've got strong personalities, Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the public sexual woman congressman from Denver. We've got these people who are not willing to toe the line and listen to the old guard. And so we're really getting to see how the sausage is made right now.
And is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing. I think America, needs to, maybe not wants to, but needs to see how sausage is made. This thing that happened with the Speaker of the House being tossed out, and then it took a while. And then today, the senator from Oklahoma challenged the president of the Teamsters Union to a fist fight, right in the middle of a committee hearing. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We had, a dueling society is a polite society. We've had numerous physical assaults in the halls of Congress between lawmakers over our past 200 years. So it may be shocking to the consciousness because it's 24/7.
Let's give ourselves the benefit of the doubt and hope that we're becoming more cultivated as a society and that we're not having to go to the chamber floor with clubs. Now, with the exception of John Fetterman wanting to go in shorts, I'd like to think that the rest of the Democratic Party tut-tuts and clutches their pearls when it comes to Republicans who even fight each other, let alone the across the aisle.
Hey, listen, I'm clutching my pearls right now. I do think that you know, outbursts and passion have their place. I do support and respect a certain level of decorum. I think the dress code should be upheld. And listen, if you can't wear the required uniform to come to work, you and I were in the Army together. If you can't wear the required uniform to come to work, they shouldn't change it for one person. God love, you know, Senator Fetterman and his health conditions. I'm not his doctor. I don't want to be. It's his business. But if you can't get dressed for work, then you need to find a different job. But we're talking about the Republican Party, so I digress. Passion is okay. I am not a Trump supporter currently. I did vote for him two other times. You know, I haven't decided who I'm going to support yet. You know, the former UN ambassador looks rather attractive. And I will end up supporting the Republican nominee, whoever he or she may be.
Yes. And if you can get Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene to not hammer away at each other, then I think you might stand a better chance of unifying the Republican Party. You would like to think that a
I haven't seen those two women hammering away at each other. I haven't seen them hammering away at each other as much as they might just want to go on a double date. That could be fun. But yes, there is a lot of infighting, but I think they're on the same side of the infighting. Listen, you know, passion is great. Our founding fathers were very passionate. You know, in the hot summer in Philadelphia, George Washington said, don't let your neighbor peek over your shoulder, you know, when you're writing your draft or what you think the Constitution should look like. Let's not forget, you know, we had a sitting vice president kill a sitting secretary of the Treasury because dueling was legal in New Jersey. I don't want it to come to that, but when people feel so strongly about their positions that they're willing to fight someone, I think that's okay. As long as they back down from it, you know, zip their pants back up. No one needs to see that. And let's just, you know, have an intellectual discussion.
Well, that's all good and well. But unfortunately, when you've got over 300 million, there's going to be a small slice, a radical contingent that is going to take these words at heart. Just within the last day or two, most recent president, the guy whose name I don't much care to mention, said that the day he is inaugurated, he's going to marshal 54,000 loyalists and that he's going to start throwing people in camps. And how do you spin that? How do you parse that? There are people that will attack
democracy. Okay, I didn't hear that, but I'm sure he said something like that. So I'm not going to argue with you whether he said that or not. He couldn't do that. You and I wouldn't allow him to do that. Other veterans, other God-fearing Americans, men and women, listen, everybody's got plenty of guns. Nobody's deputizing 54,000 people. You know, should there be relocation centers to get illegal aliens out of our country? Yes. I'm not going to call them detention camps. I'm not going to put up barbed wire. But there should be a central gathering place where folks can be processed to return to their country of origin in a legal and humane way.
All right. Well, we don't have as much time as I'd love to have left. Phil, so give me, with the last remaining minute, how a libertarian, Dr. Phil Kiever, reconciles potentially having the current nominee become the next president, and will that be the end of democracy?
Okay, so Trump is leading in the polls right now, and you know, no one ever believes polls. The only poll that matters is the results on election day. Is the former president being petulant? Yes. Is he being verbose? Yes. Is he angry and pissed off? Yeah, I bet he is. You know, he's fighting court battles on multiple fronts. So, of course, he's going to be angry. You know, I get a speeding ticket. I don't think I wasn't speeding. I get angry. So I am not giving a lot of credit to what he is saying about locking up his political enemies on day one. I mean, he could win the election and be very content. You know, he could just turn into a little lap cat that we all just scratch behind the ears. So let's just unclench our pearls a little bit. Let's let the nominating process play itself out, and everybody just vote for Robert Kennedy. How about that?
If he becomes your nominee, then I think everybody would be happy. Dr. Phil Kiever, a professor at Liberty University, his most recent reissue, 182 Days in Iraq, and my debate partner. I wouldn't have anyone else. And thank you so much, Phil. Hey, man, remember, I love you, man.
I still hate your guts.
Good night, Phil.
Is that it? That's what we're doing? We're done?
Listen, you want to deny science? Seriously? You want to go back to smoking cigarettes, burning gas with lead, drive over bridges that don't get inspected, tell your surgeon she doesn't have to wash her hands? The doctor who discovered that hand washing prevented the spread of disease was thrown into a mental institution for their ideas that were seen as crazy. Same goes for Galileo saying the sun does not revolve around the earth. We used to kill people for thinking that. What do you want to kill people for now? Left-handers used to be prejudiced against. Don't believe scientists? Fear a college education? Then go back to throwing your human waste out in the street. Call weather forecasting satanic and ignore tornado warnings. Man the International Space Station with MAGA hats. That phone in your pocket, did you design it yourself? You should refuse to use the GPS in your phone, and why do you trust the spectral voices coming out of it? Protest against penicillin mold being injected into your children. Your water contains a World War I nerve agent, although now we call it chlorine, right? Don't drink water. Everyone who has ever drank water has died. Don't eat vegetables. Do you know what they fertilize them with? Yeah. You're going to be in for a surprise about making beer and wine. Suspend rabies inoculations. Let your children play with mercury. Let bees die. Eat your seed corn. You still believe deep down in the ocean's depths, here there be dragons? The church thought God caused the Black Plague, not rat fleas. No need to look any further, right? You still believe the sun revolves around a flat earth and that the bumps on your head define you and that smoking is therapeutic? Here's a note to conservatives. You better start shifting blame of the world's woes to electricity, like they used to do. No, wait, communism. No, wait, vaccines. No, wait, gays. No, wait, same-sex marriage. No, wait, marijuana legalization or whatever the next contrived outrage du jour is. No such thing as climate change? Why don't conservatives deny the Dust Bowl or lunar tidal forces or how a refrigerator works? Farmers will tell you things are different since they took over their father's farms. We don't know everything we're ever going to know. Edison was purported to be working on a machine to speak to the dead just before he died. There was a time when people thought flesh would be pulled off bone if we were to drive over 10 miles per hour, that it was physically impossible to pass the speed of sound. Okay, James O'Keefe, what science degree did you earn? Every scientist that has studied climate change agrees that the changes we have seen in the last 20 years are man-made. The only ones that disagree are those that are employed by the petrochemical industry. If I slipped you 50 milligrams of arsenic, you would probably survive. The cumulative lethal dose of arsenic in adults is estimated to be 1 milligram per kilogram of body weight per day. In 6 months, you're dead. So it is with climate change. Usually, it snows in Greenland. For the first time in 2023, it rained. All of the Arctic ice is gone. The North Pole is now water. What if the Pope told you about the problem in an official encyclical? What if I told you there was only one cult in the world that denied climate change? The GOP is that only major party in the developed world to deny climate change. Antikythera, sunstones, battery amphora. These are technologies that were lost after ancient epochs. But sure, go ahead. Drink bleach, eat horse paste, tan your testicles. Did you rake all of the forests, confirm microchips and vaccines, use nukes to target hurricanes? You think science is wrong? then tell me what a CME, a coronal mass ejection, is and why it could change everything you take for granted. Then, if you have the guts, find out what a gamma ray burst could do to you. Science? So you don't want our military to be the most advanced? Is America the best in the world for its relentless pursuit of knowledge, or just because we have a lot of guns? Now tell me where I'm wrong.